reiterated yesterday that more boots have been placed on the ground to reassure the people of their safety and security. And that's your OCM Regional News. Have a good afternoon.
Your OCM Regional Roundup from Starcom Network News brought to you in association with Carib Rehab Limited, aiming to keep you able.
Aye, aye, aye. My knee is so sore.
Don't be such a big baby. You're going to let a little twinge slow you down. I want a party this weekend here.
Sooner or later, you will find a little support necessary. When it happens, see Carib Rehab for an extensive range of specialized braces for ankles, knees, elbows, wrists, and backs.
Want to see how I boogie with my Carib Rehab knee brace on?
Carib Rehab, caring for you for 25 years strong. Visit the Carib Rehab showroom at Friendship Estates in Michael, Monday to Friday, 8 to 4, and Saturday, 9 to 12, for personal and professional service.
Up next, we track the latest in association with the Barbados Light and Power, electricity, powering our nation's progress since 1911. We're joined this afternoon by the head of the news department, Mr. Stetson Babb. Good afternoon, Stetson.
Good afternoon to you, Etienne. Among the stories we're tracking at this hour, Prime Minister Morsley voices concern about the upsurge in gun violence. She's to address the country later this week on the matter. Plans include drafting more young men into military service to increase discipline. The new Chief of Staff of the Barbados Defense Force sworn in, promising to work with the police to battle the violent crime. The Bishop of the Anglican Church condemns the gun violence. A Christchurch man remains hospitalized after being shot last night in what relatives claim is yet another reprisal shooting in retaliation for another gun attack. The police identified the third victim of the Nelson Street mass shooting. Another notable resignation from the opposition DLP. And music mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs charged with a number of sex offenses. Those stories and more coming up in the lunchtime edition. Stetson Babb in the Starcom Network News Center.
Thank you, Stetson. Tracking the latest brought to you in association with the Barbados Light and Power. Electricity, powering our nation's progress since 1911.
Hi, I'm Akeem. I work for the Barbados Light and Power Company, and I am a customer too. Lockdowns and national pauses have really helped me to appreciate the simple things in life, like a hot cup of freshly brewed coffee in the morning. The fact that my coffee machine works every time I turn it on is because there will be electricity at the plug. It is a small but an important part of my day that wouldn't be possible without a safe and reliable electricity service.
This is Network News from Flow. Brought to you by Flow. Only one network is reliable, built, ready, and proven. One-of-a-kind connection is how we flow.
John, what's 120 minus 6?
126.
Your math might need a little work, dear.
Help John do better math. Sign up for Flow's super fast fiber plus 300 internet and get up to 300 megs of upload and download speed, plus a free Samsung LTE tablet.
Now that math is mathing.
Sign up in store to activate. 6 month contract applicable. Offer ends September 30th or while stocks last. Terms and conditions apply.
This week on Network News from Flow. C&W Communications, the operators of Flow, Flow Business, and C&W Business, is pleased to announce the broadcast of the 2024-2025 season of the English Premier League across the Caribbean via ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. And there's a new dedicated channel that has also been introduced that will provide football fans with live and exclusive around-the-clock coverage. We learn more from Flow's senior marketing manager, Paul Batson.
We are very happy to announce the broadcast of the English Premier League, or EPL as it's commonly known, on Flow TV via ESPN and ESPN2. And this year, football fans will be treated to even more action with the launch of a dedicated channel, ESPN Extra, which will feature approximately 6 live prime matches per game week or round. ESPN Extra will also feature pre- and post-match studio shows, rebroadcasts of games, press conferences, fantasy football segments, archive matches, and other magazine-style programming. In addition to ESPN Extra, live Premier League matches will also be aired on the existing ESPN Caribbean and ESPN 2 channels. And depending on the scheduling, matches may air simultaneously across these platforms.
Batson also revealed that all Flow TV customers can enjoy a free preview of ESPN Extra until September 30th.
As a special bonus, all television customers will enjoy a free preview called the Freeview of the ESPN Extra channel until September 30th. Following the Freeview period, customers will have the opportunity to subscribe directly to the ESPN Extra channel, and more information is available at discoverflow.co. With ESPN Extra and the enhanced extra coverage across ESPN and ESPN2, our customers will have front row seats to the experience the absolute best of the Premier League right from their homes. As a reminder, customers can learn more by visiting our website at discoverflow.co.
That was Paul Batson, Flow's Senior Marketing Manager, who was sharing details about Flow's broadcast of this season's English Premier League via ESPN. And as a reminder, you can get in touch with Flow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by calling toll-free 1-800-804-2994 for all your service-related queries. Flow is also on Instagram and Facebook, and you can also visit the company's website at www.discoverflow.co for more information. I'm Alan Harris for Flow Network News, and with Flow, it only gets better.
John, what's 120 minus 6? 126. Your math might need a little work, dear.
Help John do better math. Sign up for Flow's super fast fiber plus 300 internet and get up to 300 megs of upload and download speed, plus a free Samsung LTE tablet.
Now that math is mathing.
Sign up in store to activate. 6 month contract applicable. Offer ends September 30th or while stocks last. Terms and conditions apply.
Get ready for Coleman's Tool Fest with incredible combo deals, huge discounts, and awesome prizes from top brands like Makita, Milwaukee, DeWalt, and WorkPro. This is an event you don't want to miss. Join us from the 30th of September in-store and online. Visit Coleman.bb for more details.
September savings await you at Massey Stores. Gear up for back to school with a free Slide Innovation smartwatch, plus 15% off your purchase of any laptop. Buy the RCA 58-inch smart television and get the 32-inch television free. Plus, you save $600. Enjoy easy hire purchase terms and 0% interest when you pay in full within 6 months. Get these deals and more at Massey Stores Home Sheraton and Supercenter Warrens. Follow Massey Stores social media pages for more details.
You could have a costly plumbing emergency at any time. Taps will drip, toilets will malfunction, and pipes will burst. Don't be caught off guard. Sign up for PlumRite Plumbing Insurance. Get an annual service visit by a professional plumber with free repairs to all minor plumbing problems. Plus, during the year, all problems will be fixed for a fraction of the cost or for free. Get plumbing insurance for just $100 sign up and your first monthly installment. Call PlumRite now at 436-3570 for more details. Don't wait.
West Indian Waterproofing is the leading waterproofing company in Barbados. Established in 2011, we specialize in roof repairs, basement walls, water tanks, and swimming pools. Leaks at your property can be stressful, and over time can cause serious damage to your structure. Don't wait until it's too late to have your roof checked and waterproofed. We are here to serve you with quality service and expertise. Give us a call at 271-4933 or visit our store in Holders Hill, St. James, between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. to purchase waterproofing products.
Call West Indian Waterproofing.
Win big, big.
Over $20,000 in cash and prizes to be won. Be the ultimate grand prize winner and receive $9,000 cash, plus another $9,000 over 90 days for your free living experience and additional vouchers from our advertising partners. A total of 9 of you will win big with cash, more free living, and more prizes. Purchase $30 in advanced clinical products. Spend $25 at Lori Dash Craft Shop. purchase $25 in Aveeno products. Purchase two 950ml or 1 gallon in clean and white products. Spend $25 at any Farm and Garden shop. Purchase any item on the menu at Chicken Barn. Spend $50 at Hunt Auto Spares to enter. Each active policyholder of Cooperatives General Insurance gets a chance to enter. Purchase any two 1 liter bottles of Tropical Delight juice. Spend $12 on any combination of Robert Sunflower Spreads or Mellow Cream Spread. Drop the receipt with your contact information in boxes at participating locations or at Starcom Network River Road, or scan the QR code on posters at participating partner locations, or visit us at starcomnetwork.net/winbigpromotion and fully complete the form, including uploading a photo of your receipt to enter. Deadline for entries is 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, October 6th. Keep listening to this station for more ways to enter, and visit www.starcomnetwork.net and our social media platforms for more information. Terms and conditions apply. Win, big.
Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines. I'm your moderator for today. Today's producer is Etienne Fraser, and you can reach us at 434-1790 for your calls, 266-4862 for WhatsApp messages. We've been talking about a number of things today, from the preparation of schools, gun crime and violence, a whole host of political issues, and we are open to many more. Welcome to the program. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Hines.
And you.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Wonderful. You know, I mean, any day above the ground. It's always a time for sober reflection. They give God thanks and prayers for the blessing bestowed upon his soul. Dr. Hines, I've been following the unfortunate events with the crime situation in this country. And I listened. I don't know if you had the opportunity to listen to the press conference by the Commissioner of Police.
And there were two of them. I listened to both.
Right. Good. Wonderful. Now, something stood at me, Dr. Hines, and I don't recall hearing any of the callers both yesterday or today mention it. If anyone, for any reason, measure, it probably would have slipped me. And that was the press conference where the police showcased a number of illegal firearms that were seized. Mm-hmm. You watched that one as well?
I watched one that was talking about the incident at the bar in Nelson Street, and then there was another one that came later that was talking about the incidents in the north of the island. Right. I didn't see firearms being showcased. I didn't watch them live. I watched the recordings of them, but I saw on the front page of yesterday's paper the firearms being showcased by a police officer. And some of them, I was wondering if we actually had a war in Barbados that I wasn't aware of, because...
But this is the reason why I want to raise this, because I listened with some rap attention to Inspector Dwayne Cumberbatch, and he said something that has disturbed me as a citizen in this country. Mm-hmm. And apparently it gone over the heads of a lot of Barbadians. He said that the police are aware that some guns are manufactured in this country by 3D printers.
I saw that about 3D printing as well.
And I decided I would do some research on it. And this is very disturbing, you know, Dr. Hines, because we would now have to find out in whose hands are a lot of these 3D printers in this country. Because my understanding from my research is that 3D printers aren't cheap. They're very expensive. So if they are on island, we may need to make connection with who have these 3D printers in their possession, and try to find out what's happening behind the scenes with these 3D printers. Because it now tells me, Dr. Hines, there's no explaining, it makes a lot of sense to me now. Because I was concerned as to the influx of firearms in this country and sought to identify the fishing vessels and our two ports of entry. And I was zeroing in on these particular targets as the possible reason for these illegal firearms on the island in the hands of a reckless few. But when I hear the introduction of a 3D printer,
Dr. Hines, 3D printed bottom receivers?
Yeah.
Of the firearms.
Mm-hmm. Where people can now stay in the comfort of their homes, Dr. Hines, by the use of these 3D printers, mm-hmm. to manufacture guns in this place. This is frightening, and if I say this, those who are very familiar with technology and how to operate it, don't put this beyond a lot of young people are very au fait, Dr. Hines, with the use of technology. So I am wondering if we might not have to move in the direction.
So it's not the full firearm, though. It's particular parts of the firearm.
But Dr. Hines,
it's not the whole thing. But if I understand correctly, this is to avoid the serial number being detected that they're printing this part.
But Dr. Hines, you understand.
Yeah, I still understand it is a challenge, but I just don't want people to think that it is a complete firearm that is being 3D printed. That was not what was communicated. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right, but no, the point I'm trying to make is that I want to make the connection between that and the other parts that would make up the entire whole of the firearms, right? Because we need to be extremely careful with this. And this I believe this calls for some tracking. This particular 3D printer issue calls for some tracking. I honestly believe this. The next thing I also want to say, I am deeply troubled, Dr. Hines. I know some people will try to come after me when I say this, but I will say it nevertheless. I am deeply troubled, Dr. Hines, by some individuals in this country who are in possession of Android cell phones that have the capability of recording. And that when you have police special operations, especially the members of the serious crime unit and so on, the cell phones are now used to record the proceedings. If it's an apprehension of a suspect or whatever it is in this country. And the faces of these individuals are now showcased on the platforms of social media for all and sundry to see. I am now wondering, Dr. Hines, if the safety of the members of the Barris Police Service is not now compromised when they have to go after certain criminals in this country to get the guns off the streets. So it begs the question, Dr. Hines, because I like to forward think, you know. It begs the question, Dr. Hines, that I believe that the permission should be given to these individuals who are charged with responsibility in these serious crime units to go after the guns in this country. That the bakalavas, that I think that's the correct name for them, that they can use them to conceal their identity in certain certain areas and certain special operations. What is to stop a hardened criminal who has no regard for law and order in this country to go after an officer who he believes might would have unfairly treated him? Yes, I can hear the talk about the body cameras. That's fine. But I believe that the use of cell phones, and I heard the commissioner appoint, and I was begging him to do it, and I heard him in his last press comment make special mention of it. What is to stop these individuals, Dr. Hines, to seek out these men and women after they complete the task, be it 12 hours, 8 hours, or whatever, and that somebody then, we've seen it in Jamaica, you know, we've seen it down in Trinidad, we can wait till they get here. What's to stop them from turning the firearms on the same officers? We're going to get serious in this country. Some people will scoff at this and say, but we won't see the face. We went, no, Dr. Hines, no. The safety of these men and women can't be compromised. This is not a church service, you know, on a Sunday school. These men with guns walk about and killing people in broad daylight and all kind of that.
This is to be expected. This is dangerous work. And the kind of crimes that we are dealing with are violent crimes, fatal ones involving firearms. So it is quite obvious that those officers who are involved in this will be in harm's way. And, you know, cell phones may be a part of it with the recording. But, you know, this is why I know people have, and I've tried to avoid saying anything about it since. People have been, were previously very critical of me when I said, you know, if you see something, say something, if it is safe. Because you do want people to come forward and report things, but because of the nature of these sorts of crimes, there is a level of danger involved and people can be fearful. We don't expect the police officers to be fearful because this is their job, but it is dangerous. And we have to recognize how dangerous it is and that dealing with this type of crime puts them directly in harm's way. And with or without cell phones, they may be targets. No, but it's small, reason, you don't need a cell phone to know who's the officer that was involved in something.
No,
you don't need to record anything. You don't need to take a picture. You could easily say, John Brown.
No. It's my point. The point I am making to you is that when a video of a police special operation goes viral, right? All and sundry are given the opportunity, once they have an Android phone, to view that video. But if there wasn't a recording, perhaps somebody will have to rely on hearsay to say that Sheila Sun, that is the police or a detective, they want for the job. So you don't know that for sure. But what I'm saying is that the recording now substantiates in the minds of a person who have criminal intent as to who these individuals are, and there's nothing to stop them from seeking to find out where they live, the movements, how they're, and all these kind of things,
right.
And then retaliate. That's the point I'm making.
So
these videos are the platforms of social media, moving around, making the wrong things.
I understand what you're saying, that it can result in violence against officers, but I think they will have to know that in the current context in which we're operating, they face these risks. What are you really going to do? You're going to confiscate people's cell phones? You're going to stop recordings from circulating online? Yes, we have some legislation that may allow people to be charged after the fact, but that's still after the fact, after these things have already circulated. So they have to know the environment in which they are operating. And I don't know what comfort you can give to the relatives of these police officers or the police officers, because it is dangerous. The kind of crimes we are seeing are very violent. There's a level of callousness that we are also seeing. And one would expect that those who are in the line of work that attempts to get rid of this will be in some danger, sadly to say.
But Dr. Hines, they don't believe that the state has a fiduciary responsibility to these men.
How are you going to manage it, though? What are you going to do, ban cell phones in Barbados?
No, I'm not asking for the ban cell phones. I'm asking for the government to step up the game in relation to granting the permission to these individuals to conceal their identities when they are going to go special operations. That's the point I'm making. They will not be in harm's way. That's the point I'm making. I mean, the government can't determine who use and who don't use the cell phone, who record and who don't record. But there are other ways and means and mechanisms by which we can confront the same challenges and have the challenges sorted out by imposing and doing certain things that lessens, in my opinion, the risk involved.
That's so they should conceal their identities, but they also have the body cams? I'm asking.
Body cams can be there too. I don't have an issue with body cams. I don't have an issue at all with the body cams.
I understand what you're saying.
The issue I have is the men on the front line in special operations, right? Not only that, they've got a lot of vehicles in this country. You can't see nothing inside them when they pass. You can imagine you walk confront a vehicle like that, just believing that a suspect is in that vehicle. And you're going to say, don't even know if a fella can shoot through the glass at you. All these things you don't know, you know. Yes, I understand his job carried great risk. It is no wonder why, doctor, and of course, my tennis, it's no wonder why persons are reluctant to come forward to join the Barbados Police Service. Because, one, the salary is attractive for the madness that the government put it with. You understand? And you can't give me pittance and then don't want to shield me from the very harm That is in my way. Mm-hmm. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right?
I understand what you're saying. Well, thank you for your call. I know a lot of people are concerned about this, what's happening in Barbados. And it really is something to see that we are discussing police officers wearing, having to wear balaclavas to conceal their identities and to deal with violent crime. Because I remember when I was small, there were people who used to talk about, you know, police in Barbados, all they have is a baton. They just have a baton because perhaps we didn't have, not that there was no firearm related crime or anything, it just wasn't as concerning at the time. Clearly we have moved a far way from that. Let's see if we can take one more call before we break for the news. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Hines. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
I am good also. I'm not calling about none of those problems that we are encountering in Barbados today.
Okay.
It is very, very sad, and I hope that the government will be able to come in and step up and do something about it. But my main concern today is about the homeowners in Atlantic Breeze. We are still having issues with those houses. I'm a house owner myself, and we are still having a lot of issues with those houses. The roof leaking, the floors are coming up, and bad plumbing and stuff like that.
Right.
But what made me call this afternoon, is because I don't know if you read that article Mr. Maloney posted that he's going after those people that he was scammed during the COVID-19. I felt his concern, and I felt his plea. But what about us that are homeowners in Barbados, and we don't know who to go to get our problem resolved? I would like my money back. A lot of people would like their money back. So I'm hoping that he would hear our pleas, because this is the hurricane season, and we have to use new houses, and we have to take buckets to catch water. All of our floors are leaking. We have to push the furniture one side. We're asking for help. We are really, really need help. We're asking for help. And if Mr. Maloney can hear this help, the same way he is trying to go after those scammers during the COVID-19, we would like some help, please.
So you're saying that these were contractors that you used that didn't do the construction properly?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Who have you reached out to, though? Who have you reached out to in Barbados to try and get some sort of redress or intervention?
Well, we had reached out to Mr. Maloney and his team. Uh-huh. They came out and they addressed the problem, yes. Uh-huh. Some of the homeowners had their houses repaired, but it was never repaired because it's like going over the same problem, repairing the floors, fixing the cracked walls. So it's like we are still at square one.
So have you sought legal recourse?
Well, we can't afford it because we have our mortgage to pay. So how are we going to afford to pay a lawyer?
Have you tried the Office of Public Counsel? I think I subject to correction. They may be able to intervene in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is an avenue. It's really unfortunate to hear this. You know, you have a mortgage to pay and you have all of these difficulties. But see if that may be an avenue that you can pursue and let us know. We have to take a break for the news, but thank you for calling and for raising your issue here. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
In the lunchtime edition, Prime Minister Morty voices concern about the upsurge in gun violence and is to address the country later this week. The new chief of staff of the BDF sworn in, promising to work with the police to battle the violent crime. The bishop of the Anglican Church condemns the gun violence. A Christchurch man remains hospitalized after being shot last night in what relatives claim is yet another reprisal shooting in retaliation for another gun attack. The police identified the third victim of the Nelson Street mass shooting, and another notable resignation from the opposition DLP. Good afternoon. I'm Stetson Babb. This is The Latest.
The lunchtime edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News is brought to you in association with CIBC Caribbean.
Every day in a busy world, we have to do so much. Bank with CIBC and get that personal touch. Share your ambitions, let us help your dreams come true.
Lieutenant Colonel Carlos Lovell has been sworn in as the new Chief of Staff of the Barbados Defense Force, promising the force will work with the Barbados Police Service to battle the surge in violent crime. Speaking during the swearing-in ceremony at State House this morning, Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley highlighted the crime situation in the country, stating that Lieutenant Colonel Lovell is an example of what young people can achieve. She's to address the country later on a plan to tackle the crime. She spoke of a plan to expand the staff complement of the Barbados Defense Force to 800.
We have now the reality that there are tools available to people that have a disproportionate impact on our lives. I will speak to the country later this week on this whole issue of citizen security, but I could not let today pass without highlighting what is possible. A fine young man who rises to the highest ranks in this country, or young men who want a pathway to either Coral Ridge, Westbury Cemetery, or Dodds. The choice is ours. And I thank God that we have examples that you and others in the police service and the Barbados Defense Force and the other protective services to show what it is really like.
The new chief of staff stressed that the BDF is ready to work alongside the police service to combat crime.
The Barbados Defense Force has a responsibility not just for our national security and the defense of our national interests, but it has a responsibility to help Barbados to build it as a nation. And as the Prime Minister said, what we are seeing in the newspapers and on social media, this is not who we are as a people. And regrettably, it is just a few persons in society who are perpetrating these nefarious acts. And if the providing the support to the Barbados Police Service, the Barbados Defense Force will do everything in its power to ensure that we wrestle these unusual challenges to the ground in order to return Barbados to its state of normalcy.
The newly appointed Chief of Staff of the Barbados Defense Force, Lieutenant Colonel Carlos Lovell. Meantime, a Christchurch man remains hospitalized after being shot last night in what relatives and friends claim is yet another of a series of reprisal shootings in retaliation for other gun attacks. 46-year-old O'Brien Nurse was shot in the right hand, chest, and buttocks at Bourne's Land, Silver Sands Christchurch last night. The police say the incident happened about 6:55 p.m. just outside Bow's shop. The victim and others were said to be sitting on a grassy area opposite the shop when someone approached from the St. Christopher School pasture and opened fire on them. They ran, but Nurse was shot, and the bullets also struck a nearby home. The victim was treated at the scene by ambulance service paramedics and then transported to hospital. His mother, Sonia Nurse, tells Starcom Network News that her grandson, O'Brien's nephew, has been arrested in connection with a murder, and she believes last night's shooting was a revenge attack. She spoke of hearing the gunshots and then finding her wounded son on the ground.
Well, last night I was inside, and I was on the bed sitting down, and all I hear is these gunshots. That's all I heard, the gunshots. And my daughter said to me, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, the shooting over there, Park Buffalo is, Buffalo out there." I said, "Well, nobody don't go outside. Everybody sit down and wait." When everything cracked down, I went outside and they look and they haven't seen O'Brien. I didn't see him. Then I asked a fella, "Did you see O'Brien?" He said, "No, O'Brien ran." And then afterwards that, he told me that O'Brien ran, he came back wrong. And when I went into the yard, I hear my daughter hollering for me, saying, "Mommy, mommy, come quick, come quick, come quick." I said, "What happened?" She said, "O'Brien get shot." So I ran and when I went up there, I saw him sitting down on the ground. You know he was sitting up, right? But the truth is, when I see him, I was angry. I was mad because I said to myself, my grandson is being charged already. Why did they come and try to kill my son? For what reason? It wasn't right and it is not fair because O'Brien doesn't trouble people. O'Brien is the best thing that civil sons have. Ask anybody and they will tell you.
Miss Nurse wants the perpetrators brought to justice.
And yes, I want justice. I must have justice for what they have done to him. It is not fair. Right now, my son is laying in the hospital. If you see him, he went through all this surgery. His hand is actually fractured. They shot him and it come through the chest. He in so much pain. I had to pray to God. I had to call all my family who are prayer warriors so that my son could have come through that day. And I pray to God that the hand that did it, God will bring it to justice. I tell you, I want God to bring it to justice. That's to go back and go back to the hospital now because when he leave him this morning, he had just come out of surgery and he was in the recovering room.
Miss Nurse also wants the authorities to do more to get the illegal guns off the streets. This is The Latest.
The lunchtime edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News is brought to you in association with CIBC Caribbean.
52-year-old Nicholas Murrell of Martindale's Roach and Michael has been identified as the third victim killed in the mass shooting last Saturday at Majestic Bar, Nelson Street, in the city. Anglican Bishop Michael Maxwell has condemned the recent spate of gun violence in the country. In a statement, Bishop Maxwell said the church will play its part and assist the families who have been affected.
With already 38 such deaths, it is my prayer, and certainly that of the Anglican Church in Barbados, that we will be able to break this cycle of precious lives being lost by way of violent crimes, and stay clear of the record high number tallied in 2019. The Anglican Church truly condemns these acts of violence.
He's appealing to the perpetrators to stop the violence.
We know it may seem that there is no way out now, now you have committed that particular crime in the past, but it will only get worse in the future if the process continues and more lives are lost, more bystanders critically injured, and more families and communities affected. Please cease and encourage your brothers to do the same and seek help and refuge from those who can assist you in coming to grips with the wrong that was committed and helping you towards a change of heart and better view of life.
Anglican Bishop Michael Maxwell, former chair of the opposition DLP's Young Democrats, attorney-at-law Tyra Trotman has resigned from the party with immediate effect. Ms. Trotman tendered her resignation letter yesterday. She tells Starcom Network News she can no longer be in a party that does not align with her values.
I cannot, for one, be a part of something, an organization which has no respect for women. I cannot be a part of an organization that does not recognize democracy and democratic processes. So therefore, you know, it even though it took careful thought, it was not quite a hard decision to make because the Democratic Labour Party is not only a name, it's an institution, and persons make up an institution. And if it is that my values and my morale does not align with the persons who make up that institution, especially the leaders of that institution, then I, for one, have to take my leave.
Former chair of the Young Democrats, Tyra Trotman. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs, who was arrested yesterday at the Park Hyatt Hotel, has been charged with a number of sex offenses in a federal indictment unsealed today. Combs was charged with racketeering, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. An attorney for Combs said today he plans to plead not guilty. Combs has faced a wave of lawsuits, one as recent as last week, accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct in the past year. He has denied any wrongdoing. Our top stories. Prime Minister Motley voices concern about the upsurge in gun violence. She's to address the country later this week. Plans include drafting more young men into military service to increase discipline. The complement of the Defense Force to be increased to 800, she says. The new chief of staff of the BDF is sworn in, promising to work with the police to battle gun crime. Lieutenant Colonel Carlos Lovell is the new BDF chief of staff. The bishop of the Anglican Church, Michael Maxwell, condemns the gun violence, appeals to the young men to put down the guns. A Christchurch man remains hospitalized after being shot last night in what relatives claim is yet another reprisal shooting in retaliation for another gun attack. The police identified the third victim of the Nelson Street mass shooting. Another notable resignation from the DLP, Tyra Trotman, and music mogul Sean Diddy Combs charged with a number of sex offenses. The lunchtime edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Stetson Babb. Good afternoon.
The lunchtime edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News was brought to you in association with CIBC Caribbean. Don't miss The Latest with Starcom Network News at your fingertips. Listen or catch up on starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp, add me to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news. Like and follow at Starcom Network News on Instagram and Facebook now. 19 minutes before 1 p.m. Up next, we have your latest sports.
Is this the dagger?
Good afternoon, and with the latest sports, I'm Curtis Hines. Coordinator of the inaugural Prime Minister's Cup football competition, Omari Eastmond, has given the event high marks at the halfway stage. Players and spectators appear to have fully embraced the event, which has a top prize of $100,000.
8.5 out of 10. I think we are doing really good. We're improving week by week. Very satisfied with how the tournament is going. Very satisfied with the level of player. Very satisfied with the support that each team is having. I left room for improvement as we go deeper into the competition.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge thus far?
Getting the teams to be punctual with reference. Sometimes you're having a little delay, not by much. That is because some persons are coming from work. We understand that. So if we could be in a better position where we could encourage teams to be there a little earlier, we will have like 5 or 10 minute delays again. But all in all, as a pilot project, I think we're doing really well. I'm very pleased.
Omari Eastmond. The competition continues tomorrow at the Friendship Playing Field. At 7, Empire tackle Cave Hill, while at 9, it's Martindale's Road versus United Stars Alliance. Switching sports now, and veteran Barbadian sports administrator and competitor Kathy Harper-Hall has been inducted to the Huntsman World Senior Games Hall of Fame. The 86-year-old has been competing at the event since 2004 and has won an astonishing 104 medals across multiple track and field events, including the 50, 1, 2, 4, and 800 meters, long jump, standing broad jump, and a discus. Next to horse racing news, where Barbadian jockeys continue to have success on the North American circuit. Rocco Boyne singled at Thistledown, while Juan Crawford and Micah Husbands had a brace each at Fort Erie. At the Assiniboia Downs, there were wins for Sachin Paris and Ronaldo Cumberbatch, while Antonio Whitehall closed out the program with a win aboard Labrat.
As they hit the head of the lane, it's all Labrat in here, Gold Special, trying to eat up a little bit of ground, and a late rally from Captive Kitten, 16th of a mile to go, and it's all Labrat who's going to win by 5. The Calabrese Kid in second, very close for third and fourth, looked like Captive Kitten got up to beat Gold Special.
Next to cricket news, where the upcoming ICC Women's T20 World Cup is set to be the first ICC event where women will receive the same prize money as their male counterparts, marking a significant milestone in the sport's history. The winners of the tournament, which will now be staged in the United Arab Emirates, would receive US $2.34 million, a massive 134% increase on the $1 million which was awarded to Australia when they won the title in South Africa last year. Next to boxing news, where Anthony Joshua says he's been through a lot of pain over the past 2 years as he bids to become a three-time world champion again against fellow British heavyweight Daniel Dubois on Saturday.
I'm ready to fight. I'm tense, feeling better than ever. I always feel good. I'm always strong physically, but I'm strong mentally now as well. I feel like I'm ready. I'm really ready, man. Really prepped well, not just physically, but mentally. There's no mistake as to why I've been at Wembley X amount of times and what that does for me. There's no mistake in that. So I'm going to definitely use that to my advantage.
Anthony Joshua. And finally, American gymnast Jordan Chiles has filed an appeal in the Federal Supreme Court of Switzerland after being denied a bronze medal in the women's floor event at this year's Olympic Games. It's the latest appeal from Chiles, who's already had two rejected by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And that's the latest sports. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. It is 12:46 in the afternoon and we go until 2. So if you want to reach us, 434-1790 is the number to call. We have a number of lines free, so do not delay. Call us, 434-1790. You can also reach us at 266-4862 for the WhatsApp messages. Before we go to the phone lines, I want to bring clarity to some of the calls that we had before we broke for the news. So we had a caller who was asking questions about the cost of repairing the outfall. And I have some information here. This is an article from the CBC, Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, dated the 10th of September, 2024, by which it indicates that the government of Barbados is refuting what it says are false and misleading claims in a recent newspaper calling for it to give more details on the outfall for the South Coast sewage system. It states assertions regarding the cost of the temporary sewage outfall, and this piece goes on to indicate that the total cost of the project was said to be $7.5 million Barbados dollars and not the inflated $84.6 million quoted in the article. So we had a caller that was asking about the cost, and this piece from CBC indicates a cost. It goes on to address other elements of loan arrangements with the CDB. We also had some WhatsAppers who started to message us asking about the 3D printing of guns in Barbados. And just to clarify, it's not the entire firearm that is being 3D printed, but the receiver or the frame, which is basically the handle. So it's a part of the firearm. It is not ammunition or a complete firearm with a barrel that is being printed, at least according to the information that we have received. It was really interesting to listen to some of the news over that news break. Interesting. Troubling as well. But you can tell us your thoughts. 434-1790, that is the number to call. 266-4862 for WhatsApp messages and WhatsApp calls. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, caller.
Hello, good afternoon.
Go
Hello,
ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. So I just, a very overworked topic. Gun violence. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth. And I just want to be maybe as short as I can be. I feel as though the media has a responsibility in this picture as well. I feel as though the ones that run around shooting off people and shooting up the place, I think that they actually look for the media to popularize, romanticize, and maybe romanticize is the wrong word, but certainly they gain a lot of popularity and notoriety from these acts. And I'm wondering if the media can tone down any kind of notification about these gun crimes. And we tackle it from that angle where we tone that down. Because to me, how I'm seeing it is, that's not the only kind of crime that occurs in Barbados. It is probably the most violent, the most serious, but there are also violent, serious crimes like rape, incest, domestic violence that we have no daily or no reports on, which are maybe minor in the eyes of the law, but still very serious. But we don't report them in the same light, in the same way. So I'm just asking for a review or rethink of how we popularize these gun violence incidents, because I think that these men who are running around with these guns actually get some kind of sick pleasure from the notoriety that comes from it.
Mm.
And then the other thing I want to say as well is I feel as though the family and friends are also complicit in a lot of these crimes. I think that when someone is committing this crime, it is not up and out of the blue that they do it. They have been showing a lifetime of just antisocial behaviors, solving problems through a lot of violence, a lot of bullying. So you can see the signs as a family member of somebody who is inclined to pick up a gun and shoot someone. You know that person. So I just feel that there has to be this mass understanding that we all play a part in curbing this gun violence and understand that the seriousness and the gravity of it. And maybe there has to be some campaign to let people know that, you know, this is serious and the impact, the big impact, of course, but also the day-to-day household impact that this gun crime is having on our life. I wanted to say that. And then the other thing is, and I think that one of your calls was raising an important point about them taking revenge and shooting the policemen. But the problem with this gun violence and gun crime is that you actually, that person is in such a mental state of detachment, disengagement from anything that is respectable, human, all of those things, that they you cannot predict. It's something that this kind of crime is not something that you can necessarily predict. And I'm wondering if maybe we can be better at reporting people who are behaving, and this is putting a lot of work maybe on us as a people, but also the police force, suspicious, not only see somebody say something, but seeing behaviors that are just out of the normal, and this person is a risk factor.
But how would we do that? Reporting them to where?
Yeah, that's just it. That is just it. I haven't really thought that through it very thoroughly, but I just think that maybe we need to understand what somebody who is, I mean, when you go online, you can look at signs. You can look at signs for people who are going to commit these kind of crimes, and they say things like, you know, increase people who are very irritable, people have a history of using violence and things like that to solve problems. Mm-hmm. They're easily to anger, they're easily triggered, all of those kinds of things.
But you see the ages of some of these people who
exactly
are in our papers, teenagers, exactly. 16, 18, exactly. 19, 20, exactly. Little bit. Yes, they have older ones too, but one would think that most of these people are probably in school or have just left school, so what happens in that gap between them being at school and them being involved in criminal activity?
But is gun violence a form of employment for young people, for mm-hmm. young men? I think mm-hmm. that's a hard... So I feel like there are a lot of hard questions that need to be answered that are not being answered by anybody. I feel like the solutions that, you know, let's have recruit more men for the BDF, how is that going to help? Because you're not actually.
How about the football? How about the Prime Minister's Football Cup? This was supposed to be one of these strategies, right?
I mean, you cannot. I mean, to be honest, I feel that our country is under siege and that we are at war, and that we need to look at it from that perspective. And so just like how we had a very targeted, specific, and strategic way of tackling COVID, mm-hmm. it has to be that kind of specific, targeted way that we handle this whole gun violence. Because if we do not, it becomes so entrenched in our culture, just like how the PSVs have been behaving badly for years. And look how long it has taken for us to even reform that. And if we don't take a handle on this right now and have all the think tanks, have all the good brains figuring this out, the criminologists, whoever, pull from every resource, we are going to be in and look at it from a very kind of overlapping, intersectional way. We are going to have problems mm-hmm. for the next maybe 50 years with this, and it's going to escalate and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's really hard to have these discussions because there are so many things that we can see. We can see people who are dropping out of school, being put out of school, who are leaving school without qualifications. There are things that we can see brewing, but what are the interventions that one can make? It continues to trouble me, not just that we have these crimes being committed, and I say, I read the court pages, and when I see the sexual offenses that are committed in Barbados too, it is just really ridiculous to see the length of time that it takes for these cases to be heard. I mean, there are a lot of criminal activities that occur in Barbados that are very violent in addition to the gun crime. I think what makes this so spectacular is the public way in which some of this is occurring. The fact that there are people around who can end up being the unintended injured or otherwise harmed is very traumatic for people who are around to see these sorts of things. When you open your papers and you see these young faces, these are young boys. A lot of these are children who are involved in this. Some of these are even minors, 16 years old. It's ridiculous. 16 years old? How at 16 years old are you thinking that you are going to go and shoot and kill somebody 17, 18, 19? And we know there are these arguments about the human brain not being fully developed until around age 25. So maybe this is one of the reasons that some younger people can be pulled into these sorts of activities. But we have to do a lot better. And I'm not convinced that football is helping us to do better or are calling on people to join the BDF. I don't know. I really don't know. That's the truth.
But I also want to quickly add that these problems did not start at 16. They didn't start at 16. They started, and I think, how self-absorbed can you be to think that you can commit these crimes and not have impact on families, your own family, the other families of others that are being traumatized, community, society? And I just think that just the fallout, and I'm saying that these persons who are committing these crimes, they didn't start on the scene at 16. They would have had a record and a history throughout their school life of giving problems, every single one of them. Why are we not giving the support? Why are we not doing some kind of risk management there? Because obviously we have a problem. And it doesn't start at 16 when they leave school. It has been years, and I'm sure there have been mothers, families crying out and not getting the help that they need to assist them with these problematic behaviors that they're seeing in their boys throughout their school life. And if you want to look at things like protective factors and risk factors, when you have young men or young people leaving school without any certificates and no goals and all of those things, they will revert to things and opportunities like that, like this. And I also feel like too many of our schools are hubs for this deviant, delinquent behavior, and they don't take it in hand fast enough and take it seriously enough.
Because even the teachers, though, imagine you are employed to teach biology, and then you have to deal with these other sorts of issues. Are you equipped to deal with these brewing issues as a biology teacher, a Spanish teacher, a technical drawing teacher? We're asking a lot of teachers.
Yes,
as well.
I agree. But then we should also have social workers, the same mm-hmm. guidance counselors, more of those in the schools, and some kind of peer support training. I'm just saying we need to tackle this from the psychological and social aspect as well, because I think that's where the winning recipe is. I think that